Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to
1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. As you find your place there, I'd ask that you stand in respect to the Word of God. We're going to read about 5 or 6 verses, beginning in verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Father, what a marvelous, marvelous number of truths are found herein. And Father, as we just look at a few simple truths this morning, I say our Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts and our lives, that you'd receive all the glory and the honor for all that's done. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There's 4 different occasions in the Word of God where he uses the phrase, this is a faithful saying. And I'd like to look at those faithful sayings this morning. Now, the goal that I have as we look at these this morning is to encourage you to grab a Bible reading schedule if you haven't yet and read through your Bible this year. Now, I understand that reading through the Bible isn't for everyone, but I would hope if you don't read through your Bible that you do have a plan. You've got to come up with something that'll keep you in God's Word on a daily basis for the next 365 years. If you look back on the calendar of what I preached a year ago, I preached on reading the Word of God. I do it every single year. I have for over 20 years now. About 26 years now. The first message of every year or the last message of every year, depending where New Year's falls, has been on reading through God's Word and trying to exalt the Word of God. Where would we be without it? I mean, think about that for a little while. Where would we be without the Word of God? And the most serious is what's addressed in the passage before us. We'd be clueless as to the way of salvation. We really would. If you look at every religion on the face of the earth, every last one, they have one common denominator when it comes to their version of salvation. And that one common denominator is that man must do their part to acquire it. There is only one way of salvation that is completely free of man, and that's the biblical plan of salvation. We're saved by faith, or saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of our Lord. And so, faithful saints, there's 4 of them. And as I consider this, I look at the whole Word of God, and we know that from Genesis chapter 1, where it starts off in verse 1 with the word in, all the way down through the book of Revelation, where chapter 22, verse 21, where the last word in the Word of God is amen. Every word from in to amen is a faithful saying. Every word from in to amen is inspired by God himself, was given to us supernaturally. God breathed, as it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, that for all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every last word that we have here is reliable. Every last word is faithful. But it's interesting, there's only 4 times, as I said, where he uses that phrase, faithful sayings. And the first is found here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. We read it in the passage of Scripture as we began this morning. And let me go ahead and read that again. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, everyone should believe this. Everyone should accept it. No one should reject it. No one should deny it. No one should question it. No one should doubt it. Every last one of us should just, when we hear that, be willing to say amen loudly and securely, knowing that this is something that is unchangeable. Something faithful, based on God Himself, who sits in the heavens, who cannot lie. What is it that's so faithful? What is it that we should all believe and accept and live our lives based upon? Well, let's read on to find out. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, that's the faithful saying. Paul adds on to that, of whom I am chief. But I don't think that's the faithful saying he's talking about. The faithful saying is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come here to set our example of how we ought to live, though he did that. He didn't come into the world to show us what godly living is, though he did that. He didn't come into the world to teach us to pray, though he did that. He did all these things and more. The reason Jesus came, as it tells in Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, is that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a faithful saying. No one should question it. No one should doubt it. No one should be timid in repeating it. We all should be confident and declare it loudly and clearly from the housetops that Jesus Christ died for sinners. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. As Paul looked at his own life, his own heart, where he had been before Christ came in, he realized he had done some pretty bad things. If you read the little bit of history we have recorded for us in the book of Acts, and then on in his own writings, a few times he got transparent. Now, I believe that he was probably a little embarrassed and not wanting to write of his past. But God told him to, and so he did faithfully. Paul's considering those things, his lifestyle, his decisions. He says, man, he says, I can't imagine anyone having been a greater sinner than I had been. And therefore, he says, of whom I am chief. Some of us had pretty bad backgrounds before Christ was introduced to us. And the Holy Spirit worked that work that only He can do of regeneration, and we placed our faith in Christ. There's a lot of bad people that are no longer bad people. There's a lot of bad people who are living who had been living a worthless life, not just worthless, but negative in the equation of how much value they had in this world, that Jesus Christ comes in and changes them completely. Look at Rahab. Is Rahab the type of girl you hope your daughters turn into or your granddaughters? Absolutely not. As I mentioned in Sunday school, and I mentioned so many times, that's why they put bumpers on both front and back. My grandkids start turning out like that, time to apply the bumpers. That'll take care of it. Nobody wants our daughters to turn out like she had. But what happened when God sent those two witnesses? I understand they're called spies in the Old Testament, but if you read it in the New Testament, in the book of James, they're called messengers. What does a messenger do? They have a message to deliver. They had a message to deliver to a woman who was down and out, to a woman who had dropped as far as possible. And I believe that message was that Jesus Christ, in their perspective, will be coming into the world to save sinners, of whom you are chief, and an idolater on top of everything else she was. See, the truth here is that all can be saved. All can be saved. No one is too wicked. No one is too far gone. No one is so steeped in sin. Even the drug addict can be saved. One of the things that's really grown in the last 10 to 15 years Our church is having recovery programs. A lot of success. Now, they don't do anything fancy. All they do is take this faithful old book, the Word of God, and they apply it to individual lives. And as these people see their need, realizing that they're the chief of sinners and that Jesus Christ came into the world to save them, they put their faith in Him. And there's that regeneration that takes place. They're now a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. And now they become productive members of society, just like what happened with Rahab. But too often, I've seen there being no concern over the one that's got the spiked, multicolored hair, that has more metal in their face than a 64 Chevy, that you don't know what their skin pigment is because it's now covered up with tattoos. We look at someone like that and we say, they're too far gone. They're not interested. They don't want to hear. What we need to do, if we begin to even think those thoughts, and I believe the reason we're thinking those thoughts is because the wicked one is whispering in our ear, don't share the gospel with them. They don't want to hear it. They'll get mad. They'll respond violently to it. But what, when that thought process begins in our mind, we're to remember the faithful saying, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And as we look at them from the physical appearance, we assume that they're sinners. All can be saved. None are too far gone. Let's do our best in 2023 to get the gospel to them. You want to know who the hardest ones to win are? And those who react the most unpleasantly to you trying to share the gospel? It's not those people with the spiked hair, the tattoos, the piercings, the foul language. They're not that hard to reach. You don't have to convince them they're a sinner. They know it. They just look at their lifestyle. The Holy Spirit is convicting them as much as anybody else. And they know these things. They just don't think anybody loves them, and they're crying out for attention. And so they do all these things in their physical appearance so people will notice them. The one that's the hardest to reach is the one who's living the good life. That person that's in work, at work every day, working hard with a successful career and is in church every Sunday. Now, I use the word church very loosely because they're in a church that forgot long ago that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And now they're all about the ritual of what they're doing. And they're all about the song service. Let's make it loud and let's make it colorful and let's get the lights and the smoke going and let's entertain everybody to Jesus. It's hard to reach people like that because in their mind, they would never agree with Paul, of whom I am chief. You know the interesting thing about that statement Paul put on the end of that? What tense is that? I believe that's present tense, isn't it? Now, when Paul wrote that, was he a saved man? Absolutely. He'd been saved for quite a while. Paul says, I'm still a sinner, and not just a sinner, but a chief of sinners. I'm as bad as they come, he says. And so you get that person that's lost, has never heard the gospel, and yet they're good people, hardworking people, good neighbors, good citizens. They can be the most difficult to win. But the truth is, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And they can be saved too. They can be saved too. Don't quit. Don't give up. In 2023, apply the Word of God and remember these faithful sayings. Let's move on to faithful saying number two. I shouldn't have told you how many they are because I don't expect to get done with all four of them today. And we probably won't come back to it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start in verse number 7. But refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, notice this last phrase, and of that which is to come. And then verse number 9, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. Now he's going backwards to what had just been said in the previous verse about bodily exercise profiting little, godliness profiting unto all things. Because it's good for this life and the next. And that's that last phrase there of that verse, and of that which is to come. And so what I gather from this faithful saying is just simply this. Live for eternity. Live for eternity. So often our focus is so narrow. And how many people's lives were destroyed yesterday after TCU destroyed the University of Michigan's football team? I've been rooting for the University of Michigan for about 50 years now. Their football team. And you know what? I am incredibly disappointed. But you know what? I don't care. Really. I don't even know how did Ohio State do? Anybody know? They lost by one. Wow. I have been saying all year, if anybody has a chance to beat Georgia, it'll be Ohio State. Just the makeup of the team. I'm disappointed, but you know what? Not the end of my world. Because I don't live for this one. This one's got a lot of good things. I mentioned my grandkids were here a week ago. A lot of you were here to see them. I enjoy the grandkids. I've got two grandkids here. You know what? I enjoy them all the time too. There's a lot of good things in this life. There really is. The hardest thing for my wife and I for 20 years in Ohio is we didn't have any grandkids near us or any of our kids except for Guy. You know, my wife and I have been married almost for 40 years. Got that right, right? She's got a smile on her face. I got it right. A lot of good things in this world. But you know, the best thing in this world, I don't think will even compare with the worst thing in heaven. Because guess what isn't in heaven? A worst thing. There isn't any. There aren't any bad days in heaven. And you know what? You remember how you used to be able to get out of bed when you were just a kid? Remember how you, maybe you didn't. Talking with Gary, I've always been a morning person. He's always been a night person. Maybe you didn't spring out of bed. Maybe some of you are like that. Man, I always sprung up early, usually before dawn. Guess what I don't do anymore? I wake up before dawn, but I can't even remember the last time I sprung out of bed. But you know, in heaven, we won't ever sleep. We don't have to worry about it because there'll be no night there. There'll never be a bad day. No more pain, no more crying, no more tears. The old things will be passed away, won't they? So why do we spend so much time focusing on this world? Why do we waste away so many opportunities because we're fretting over what'll be over the next week or the next month or the next years? What does it all really matter? Just after I got saved, a tract that really put everything in perspective for me had the title of 100 Years From Now. That's all it said on the front, 100 Years From Now, in big block letters. And then you flip it open and it says, what'll it matter what kind of car you drove? What'll it matter what house you lived in? What'll it matter? And it went on and on, different things that people are living their lives for. In fact, turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus basically is saying the same thing here. What does it really matter, all these things? And you're familiar with this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter number 6, where Jesus said in verse number 31, wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God says live for eternity. And all these things shall be added unto you. It's a faithful saying. Faithful saying back in 1 Timothy chapter 4. That bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth unto all things. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. If we can be in the best shape the physical body is capable of being in, but how good will that do us in 100 years? The body we'll have in 100 years, if we're saved, will be a whole lot better than the one in perfect physical health in this world. Now think about that. How much money are we investing and how much time are we investing in? And I'm not saying you ought not to. You shouldn't take my example. I'm a bad example in that. We should get our exercise. We should try to eat right. Taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. But that's the only reason we should even be concerned about it. So that I can serve God better and more faithfully for eternity right now. So the second faithful saying, live for eternity. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just a page or two over. Verse number 11. Let's look at the third one just briefly. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And so this is our faithful saying, that we shall also live with him. Now, it's prefaced with that being dead with him. What is it a reference to when it says, if we be dead to him? If we have associated with him in his death on the cross of Calvary. It's just another way, although it's extending it a little bit, and expounding it a little bit further than what just that one point in time, and we would just call that salvation, identifying him with his death. The idea is not only have we identified with him in his death, received his gift of salvation, but then we have lived a life of yieldedness to him. We've died to self and live unto Christ. That's what that phrase is a reference to. But it all goes back to that point of salvation. If we're saved, we'll live with him one day. It's talking about the resurrection. And I believe this is the faithful saying, that our resurrection is certain. Our resurrection is certain. We don't have to worry about what comes after this world. We don't have to worry about what happens after this life. We will be resurrected if Christ is our Savior, and we will rejoin him, and he will return, that where he is, there we may be with him also for all eternity. Heaven will be ours. It is God's, and it will always be his, but he will share it with us because we are joint heirs with Christ. Think about what that involves. Joint heirs with Christ. And so we can live for eternity because we've been saved. These are faithful sayings. Just because I said there were four, the fourth one is in Titus 3:8. And there God is just, the faithful saying is warning us to be careful to do right. We're not going to even turn over and read it. We're out of time. We're going to come to the Lord's table here, and we need to allow sufficient time for that. But hopefully you've gotten the idea that this old book we call the Bible is a faithful book. There's a lot of books out there. Most of them will let you down one way or another. This book never will. This book is always right. It's always true. Its advice is always trustworthy. Its history is always accurate. Its science has never been contradicted, ever, nothing. This is a faithful book. It's worth investing your time in and your study in. In 2023, if you never have, or even if you have, let me encourage you, grab a Bible reading schedule, if you haven't yet, and begin today, the first of the year. Take your 20 minutes, read Genesis 1 and 2. You don't have to start Matthew and Psalm 1 till tomorrow, because you don't read from those sections, but beginning to end in 2023, you can do it. And if you do, you'll be glad you did. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for its faithfulness. Father, you didn't have to give it to us, but you did. You could have made it much briefer, but you chose to put all this down here because you knew we needed it. Father, sometimes we wonder about certain sections in your word, how much we need that part too, but Lord, we trust your wisdom. We understand that all of it is faithful. May we apply ourselves to it throughout the coming year. May we make that decision just now to do so. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.